You're listening to Stories of the Master. The stories of Jesus have reached into the hearts of millions. They have changed people, families, and nations. Not all have loved the stories Jesus told. Not all have honored the life he lived. Some were angry with him, the things he did and the things he said. Others were deeply moved and found hope. What will your response be? Today on Stories of the Master, doubt in the dungeons of Herod. And it is taken from Matthew 11 and Luke 7, 18 through 35. I hope you will follow along in your Bible. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your storyteller and teacher. I'm so glad you're here. Gather your friends, come close and listen. It's time for the world to hear again the stories of the Master. And now, doubt in the dungeons of Herod. High on the Judean plateau, to the east of the Dead Sea, was a great hill over 3,000 feet above sea level. On this hill was a palace with many rooms, a lovely courtyard, a bath, and beautiful mosaic floors. The palace was protected by walls, some over 200 feet in length, others over 300 feet in length. It was a place of security and was built to protect the land of Israel from invaders from the south and east. It was also built to keep people inside its walls. This was the palace of Herod Antipas, and inside his palace was a prison. Inside the prison, a well-known man sat. His name, John, the preacher, the baptizer, the prophet, the one who called the nation and Herod to repentance. For months, John had been inside the prison of this palace fortress complex known as Machaerus. He had much time to think. He thought on the days of his preaching in Israel, and how he had baptized thousands to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah who would establish his kingdom and pour out his Spirit. God had revealed to John that when he would baptize a man, and when he would see the Spirit of God coming upon that man, that is how he would know that that man was the Messiah. One day, Jesus of Nazareth approached John and asked to be baptized. And when John did so, the heavens opened. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus. And John knew that this man was the Messiah. That seemed so long ago. After John saw the Spirit coming upon Jesus, John was never able to converse with him again. Jesus went away for weeks into the wilderness, and when he returned, John called out to him and said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But Jesus did not come to him and walked past him to some unknown destination. The next day, Jesus walked by again, and this time when John said, "Look, the Lamb of God," two of his followers ran after Jesus, and John never saw them again either. But that was the way it was supposed to be. John had come to prepare the people for him. One day, one of John's followers had come to him and said, "John, teacher, the one that you baptized, the one that you said was Messiah, he is now preaching and the multitudes are going away from you and to him." But John did not mind. He knew that Jesus must increase and he must decrease. He would faithfully preach as long as God gave him strength, and he knew that the future lay with Jesus. Jesus would pour out his Spirit upon the people and establish the kingdom of God. But that was so long ago. And John continued to decay in the dungeons of Herod, high on the hill of Machaerus. Herod would sometimes call John into his palace and speak with him. Herod knew that John was a righteous and holy man, and he enjoyed speaking with him. but Herod would never release him, and John languished in prison. Days turned into weeks, and weeks into months, and still John sat in prison. Where was Jesus? What was he doing? Had not God told John that the one upon whom the Spirit rested would be the one who would pour out the Spirit upon the people? But where and when was this pouring out of the Spirit? John thought, if Jesus is the Messiah, then he must establish the kingdom of God. If he has come to establish the kingdom, though, why is Herod still in charge? And why am I still in prison? As the days passed, and as Herod Antipas seemed just as secure as ever in his palace, John continued to puzzle over this great paradox. The Messiah is here, but Herod and the Romans are still here too. From time to time, some of John's followers would come to visit him. They would tell him what they had heard about Jesus and the things he was doing. This would encourage him. But one day, John was visited by two of his followers, and he said to them, I have a mission for you. I want you to find Jesus, and I want you to ask him this question. Are you really the one we have been expecting? The one we have been waiting for? Or should we look for someone else? John explained his doubts to the men and told them that he had to know for sure, although he had seen the heavens open and the Spirit coming upon Jesus and had heard the voice of God saying that Jesus was the King, he was now beginning to doubt those experiences and to wonder about Jesus. Prisons can do funny things to the minds of people and even with the minds of prophets. John's two disciples, ever loyal, ever steadfast, agreed that they would make this trip for their master. And so they departed from this desert fortress to the north of Judea and Samaria, to Galilee with its abundant rain and crops. As they approached Galilee, they started asking where they could find Jesus. It seems everyone was asking about Jesus in those days. And thousands were flocking to him to hear him teach and to be touched by his healing hand. Just follow the crowds and you'll find him, people said. One day, the two men saw a group of people who said they were going to see Jesus. They joined in with them and asked many questions. They heard many astonishing stories, but they were not prepared for the amazing things they would see. They rounded a hill, and they saw hundreds, thousands of people gathered, and everyone focusing in one direction, in the direction of a man to whom the sick were brought. They had found Jesus, and now they could deliver the question from John to him. They worked their way through the crowd. So many wanted to see him. The two looked at the assortment of people vying for Jesus' attention. The cast-offs of society, the poor, the blind, the lame, lepers, deaf people, people with strange behavior as if they were possessed by evil spirits, and still others who seemed beyond life and hope. Finally, they reached Jesus, and one of them said, Jesus, we are followers of John who is in prison in Machaerus, in the fortress of Herod Antipas. Shortly after he baptized you and after people began to follow you, Herod arrested him because he preached against Herod's sins. John has now been there for months. His health is failing, and he is beginning to wonder. He would have thought that by now you would have acted. He asks, "Are you really the expected one? Are you the one we have been waiting for? Or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus said nothing. He looked with compassion upon the men, and he thought about the day that John had baptized him. John was a humble man. He was also a great prophet and man of action, whose preaching in Israel had been so vital. Jesus was sad that John was in prison. But had he not said that in this way, the way of humility, the way of complete obedience, the way of suffering, in this way, the kingdom of God would be established in the world? Again, the men asked Jesus, "Rabbi, are you the one that we have been hoping for? Or should we look for someone else?" Jesus smiled and started to say something to them. But just at that moment, someone came up to them all.
"Jesus, have mercy upon us. This is my brother, and he is blind. A year ago, a terrible sickness came upon him, and he lost his sight. Will you heal him so that he may see?"
And Jesus said, "I will." He placed his hands upon the man's eyes, and in the next moment, the man opened wide his eyes, backed up a step, and said, "I can see! I can see!" And the crowd around them roared their approval. Then two men limped up to Jesus. One of them said,
"Jesus, will you have mercy upon us? I have not been able to walk very well since an accident that took away the strength in my legs many years ago."
Jesus turned to the other man and asked, "And what about you? What do you want me to do for you?" And the man who was dressed in rags opened the folds of some of the rags and showed skin that had been ravaged by disease. And the man said, "I want to be clean. I want to be healed of my skin disease." And Jesus said, "I am willing to heal you both." And with that word, the men felt a surge of power go through them. The lame man said,
My legs, what's happening?"
As if they were burning with heat. And then he said,
"Wait, something is different. I feel strong. Look, I can now walk with no pain."
And the man with leprosy said, "Look at my skin. I am clean. I am clean." But then a scream rose up from the crowd several feet away.
"He is gone. He is gone. My child is gone."
A mother with her sick child had been traveling to see Jesus, but as she worked her way through the crowd, her child became weaker. She had stopped just a short distance away and took one last look at him and realized that her child was dead. She began to wail loudly with great grief. Jesus looked at John's two disciples who had come with their question. He nodded for them to follow, and the crowd parted as the three of them walked to the weeping woman. Jesus knelt down beside the woman and gently took the child from her arms. He whispered something into the child's ears, and the child took a deep breath and opened his eyes. The child was alive again. Jesus had raised the child from the dead. The crowd began to shout its praise, and a huge roar could be heard as news spread from person to person that Jesus had raised someone from the dead. Then Jesus stood and preached, "The kingdom of God is among you.
But the kingdom does not come with the sword to pierce a body, but with seed to plant in the hearts of men. The kingdom is not coming to topple kingdoms with the weapons of men, but to transform kingdoms with the power of God's Spirit. The kingdom is not coming to destroy enemies, but it is coming to reconcile enemies where all can rejoice in the family of God. The kingdom is coming to heal, to forgive, and to restore all things. With many other words and beautiful stories, Jesus preached. Then, when he had finished his sermon, he turned to John's followers and said with a broad, compassionate smile, "Now, go and report to John what you have heard and what you have seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and these poor have the good news of God's kingdom preached to them. And tell John one more thing. How blessed are those who do not trip and fall over me, and the manner in which I bring in the kingdom of God to the world." The two men were astonished at all that they had seen and heard, and they went away with their hearts full of joy to tell John the good news. Jesus was the expected one, and they need not look for another. Hello everyone, this is Jonathan Williams, the creator of and storyteller for Stories of the Master. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach about life change, how to build a biblical worldview, and how to connect your story to the story of God's love for the world. You can write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas 78209 in the United States. We'd love to hear from you and learn how this ministry is blessing your life. We hope you'll also check out our website, storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. Jesus has clearly shown the followers of John that he is the King of Israel and the Savior of the world. He's healed the sick, raised the dead, and preached good news to the poor. They have been sent away with indisputable proof, and now Jesus is going to speak to the crowds about John the prophet. Let's get back to our story and hear what he said. John's disciples made their way back through the crowd, and Jesus began to preach again. He said, "I want to talk with you about John the prophet. When you went out into the wilderness to see him, what did you go out to see? Did you think he would be like a weak reed, like the ones growing beside the banks of the Jordan River? You know what they are like. They bend to the slightest breeze and clatter among themselves. Is that what you expected? Someone just making noise and bending to the breeze whichever way it blows? When you went out to hear John preach, what did you expect to see? Did you expect to see a man dressed in soft clothes? Those who wear soft clothes live in king's palaces. When you went out into the wilderness, what did you expect to see? A prophet? Yes. And I tell you, John is even more than a prophet. He is the one who fulfills the prophecy that says, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way of the Lord.' And that is why I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John." All the crowd nodded in agreement, and many said, "Yes, yes, John was God's prophet." But then Jesus said, "All of you, though, listen to this." Jesus then placed his hand upon a small child and said, "The least, the smallest, those that the world disregards, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John.
Jesus was silent, and he let that word sink in. And, my friends, that is a word that should sink deeply into your heart. Jesus said, "Greater than John?" How could these needy, troubled people be greater than John? Is it possible that you and I are greater than John the prophet? Yes, John was the greatest prophet, and even more than a prophet. He was the one who prepared the way for the Messiah and his kingdom. Yet as great as his ministry was, those who experienced the blessings of the kingdom, of being in the king's presence, of hearing him teach, of feeling his healing touch, are even greater than John. For we have received the blessings of the kingdom. If you and I have entered into the kingdom of God, if we have received the touch of his forgiveness and the restoration into his family, no matter how small we are, even we are the greatest, even greater than John, not because of who we are and what we do, but because of who Jesus is and what he has done and continues to do for us. Some of you today who are listening may feel discouraged, insignificant, and worthless. Let me tell you right now, stop! Let Jesus speak to you and encourage your heart. You are not insignificant. You are not worthless. Jesus can change your life, and what makes you special is not who you are, but who he is. And the fact that he loves you and wishes to reign as king in your life. Jesus resumed his message about John. He had to explain why he was letting John remain in prison. He said it this way: "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." And when the people heard this, many thought, "Wait, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence? How can that be true? The kingdom of heaven is supposed to be all-powerful. The kingdom of heaven is to crush all opposing forces. How could it suffer violence? How could violent men take God's kingdom by force, like an army laying siege to a city?" But that was the mystery of the kingdom that Jesus brought. The kingdom of heaven did not come like a mighty warrior. The kingdom of heaven did not come like a giant boulder rushing down a mountain, crushing everything in its path. For if it did, what would be the result of that kind of kingdom? Nothing would be the result. Everyone would be crushed, and everyone would be killed. The kingdom of heaven, instead, came as a farmer sowing seed. It came as a servant washing feet, as a healer binding wounds. The kingdom of heaven came this way because people needed healing, washing, and restoration of their hearts. The kingdom of heaven came to save, and in that process, evil, violent men stood opposed to it, like Herod Antipas, who lived in luxury in his palace wearing his soft clothes. Powerful men like him might arrest the prophets of God. They might do their worst and kill the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. But in spite of the violence done to the kingdom would stand and the kingdom would prevail because it came to start a revolution like no other. A revolution of the heart that would spill over into all relationships with friends and families and communities and nations, and in this way the world would be transformed by the healing power of the kingdom. Jesus then said, "All the prophets in the law prophesied until John," meaning that the prophets and the law of Moses had pointed to John's coming, the Messiah's coming, and the kingdom coming. And once it came with healing, life-transforming power, the priority of God was to get the message of the kingdom into the world for all to hear and experience. Jesus then said, "You know that the prophets say that Elijah must first come. If you are willing to accept it, John the baptizer
John, the prophet in the wilderness, is Elijah, that the prophet said would come. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
John was Elijah? How could that be?
Jesus was not saying that John was literally Elijah. They were two different people. But John was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elijah. The Old Testament prophets had said that before the Lord returned to restore the kingdom to the earth, he would send Elijah to prepare the way, and John, in the same garments and in the same spirit of power, prepared the way for the Lord who was now bringing the kingdom of God into the world. Then someone, a Pharisee or perhaps a Sadducee from the crowd, shouted out, "You never saw the leaders of the people following John. How can you say these wonderful things about him?" But Jesus replied, "The leaders of our people did not accept John as they do not accept me. Let me tell you what the leaders of our people are like. They are like children who play happy songs on the flute. But when John would not dance to their melodies, they rejected him, and Herod arrested him. They said, 'John has an evil spirit inside him.' Then I came along, and the leaders of our people played another melody. This time they played a slow, sad song of mourning. But when I would not weep with them, but instead announced the kingdom and brought great joy to people by healing them and feasting with them, they said about me, 'Look at that gluttonous man. Look at that man drinking wine. Look at that man who feasts with tax collectors and other sinners.' Oh, my people, woe to you! Woe to you, city of Chorazin! Woe to you, city of Bethsaida! I have performed so many miracles of God among you, but you have not believed. If these miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Truly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon when judgment comes than it will be for you." These were hard words, but they were words that so many needed to hear, for in spite of all that he had done, most would not believe. They loved the miracles, but they did not like the kind of kingdom Jesus brought. But some did, and Jesus rejoiced in them, and he turned his gaze to the heavens and prayed, "Father, I praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants, these poor, these needy, these humble. Yes, Father, and this is well-pleasing in your sight. Father, you have handed all things over to me, and no one knows who I am except you, and no one knows who you are, Father, except me, and these poor and humble to whom I reveal you." Then Jesus turned back to the crowd, and with deep yearning in his heart, he said, "I invite you all, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened with life. Come, and I will give you rest. Come and work with me and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My work is easy, and my burden is light." And then Jesus turned and walked away. But what he said to the crowd on that day, a word of severe warning if they did not repent, yet a renewed offer to come to him and lay down burdens at his feet, is the same message he has for you. If you do not repent, you will face the judgment of God. But if you do repent, if you come to Jesus, you can find rest and healing for your soul. It was an eventful day for Jesus. He had been approached by the followers of John, who came with a question: was he really the Messiah? And he sent them away with indisputable proof.
The men retraced their steps from Galilee along the banks of the Jordan River and returned to the fortress of Machaerus to the south and east of Jerusalem. They came to John, still sitting in the dark dungeons of the palace of Herod, who was dressed in his fine clothes.
"Well," John asked, "did you see him? What did he say? Did we get it right?"
And with great joy, the followers of John told him everything that Jesus had said and did on that day, and John was at peace again. Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and they did not need to look for anyone else. And all John's doubts disappeared in the dungeons of Herod. Hello, everyone. I hope you have enjoyed today's story about John, the great prophet, yet a normal person like you and me, and one who even had doubts at times. Do you have doubts? Bring even these to Jesus. Tell him your doubts and fears, and see what he says to you. He loves you and is willing to show you the truth. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word for life change, a biblical worldview, and to connect your story with the story of Christ's love for you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas 78209 in the United States. And remember to check out our website and learn more about Jesus. That website is storiesofthemaster.com. My name is Jonathan Williams, and I hope you've been blessed today, and I look forward to you joining us for another story of the Master. Until then, may the Master himself richly bless you.